Good evening. Welcome to Left, Right and Centre. I'm Vishnu Shom on the programme tonight. Two more setbacks for the Aam Aadmi Party a day after the High Court rejected Mr. Kejriwal's challenge to his March 21st arrest in the liquor policy case. Now a senior Aam Aadmi Party minister, Rajkumar Anand, the cabinet minister, has quit from his post, saying that the allegations of corruption made it untenable for him to continue. The Aam Aadmi Party say that Mr. Anand, the successful businessman, was under intense pressure from the Enforcement Directorate. He was scared and had no choice. The other big setback, no immediate relief for Arvind Kejriwal, the Delhi Chief Minister, who approached the Supreme Court today. There will be no immediate hearing on his appeal to have the charges against him get thrown out. Are things now spiraling out of control for the Aam Aadmi Party? Is the party, in a sense, starting to unravel? Next up on the programme, the Prime Minister hits out at the DMK in a scathing attack in Tamil Nadu, accusing the party of hate politics and of creating divisions. There was a sharp counter from M.K. Stalin, who said the Prime Minister's visits to the state were akin to those of a migratory bird. This on a day when the row over Kachchatiwa, the tiny island in the Pork Strait between India and Sri Lanka, flared up again, with the Prime Minister alleging that the Congress and DMK had ceded the island to Sri Lanka. The impact, he said, was being felt by fisher folk in the state who were frequently being arrested by Sri Lankan authorities with their boats being taken away. But first, a big day as far as the Aam Aadmi Party is concerned, with the senior leader of the Aam Aadmi Party, a cabinet minister here in Delhi, choosing to quit the party and saying it was untenable for him to continue with the allegations of corruption which exist against his party. Let's listen in.
Mayor Rajkumar Anand. मैं दिल्ली सरकार में मंत्री हूं, मेरे पास 7 पोर्टफोलियो हैं, लेकिन आज मैं बहुत व्यथित हूं, इसलिए आप लोगों को मैं अपना दुख साझा करने आया हूं। मेरे लिए मंत्री पद पर रहकर इस सरकार में काम करना असहज हो गया है। मैं अब इस पार्टी, इस सरकार और अपने मंत्री पद से इस्तीफा दे रहा हूं, क्योंकि मैं इन भ्रष्ट आचरणों में अपना नाम नहीं जुड़वाना चाहता।
यही है राजकुमार आनंद, जिनके 23 घंटे तक ईडी का छापा पड़ा था। पूरी की पूरी भारतीय जनता पार्टी ऊपर से लेकर नीचे तक चिल्ला चिल्ला कर कह रही थी राजकुमार आनंद भ्रष्ट है। सारा केंद्रीय नेतृत्व, इनके बड़े बड़े नेता, नड्डा जी हो, अनुराग ठाकुर हो, पीयूष गोयल हो, सब ने बयान दिया राजकुमार आनंद भ्रष्ट है। देखना आपको यह है बीजेपी का चाल चरित्र और चेहरा आज से लेके कल तक, या हो सकता है जल्दी ही आपको दिखाई पड़ जाए वो व्यक्ति जिसके लिए खुद भाजपाई नड्डा से लेके अमित शाह से लेके मोदी तक सारे लोग कह रहे थे कि ये भ्रष्ट है भ्रष्ट है, कल उसको माला पहनाते हुए शामिल करते हैं कि नहीं, ये पूरी दुनिया देख लेगी।
All right, well, joining us now, Shahzad Poonawalla, national spokesperson of the Bharatiya Janata Party. Abhinandita Mathur, national spokesperson of the Aam Aadmi Party. Rashid Kidwai, the senior journalist, and the senior advocate, Nilesh Tribhuvan, with us as well. We'll be looking not just at this development today, but also about some important parts of the judgment yesterday, what it said about PMLA and the fact that the Aam Aadmi Party can actually be associated with all of this. That's an interesting development. In fact, has ramifications on other cases potentially as well. Shahzad, let me come to you first. The allegation made by the Aam Aadmi Party is that Rajkumar Anand was under pressure from the Enforcement Directorate. It would be political harakiri for him to have done what he's done, to quit, and yet that's what he's done. How would you respond?
You know, Vishnu, it is less about dabav and prabhav, but more about the swabhav of Aam Aadmi Party, which has undergone a change. Please tell me, Vishnu, Yogendra Yadav, Anna Hazare, Mayank Gandhi, Prashant Bhushan, Shanti Bhushan, Ashitosh, a journalist, did they all leave because of ED cases? And whom did they join after leaving? It is because of the swabhav of Aam Aadmi Party, which we have seen change in Ram Leela Maidan. Vishnu, you remember?
Yes.
From Jhadu to Daru, Swaraj to Sharab, from Anna to Lalu, from saying Bhrashtachar Hatao to Bhrashtachar Bachao, and from saying India Against Corruption to India Alliance of Corruption, from going from demanding resignation of the very same people they called corrupt to standing with them and saying that we are not corrupt, even when the High Court says. And today, look, the High Court has made very stinging findings, not observations. allegations, findings,
yes,
that A, Mr. Kejriwal is prima facie involved in corruption. Two, all their victimhood cards on the approver, on the electoral bonds don't hold. Thirdly, that the statement of an Aam Aadmi Party leader is itself very crucial in denying any kind of relief to Mr. Kejriwal. Fourthly, money trail has been established in the fact that it has been spent for Goa elections. All of this is in the finding of the High Court. So instead of answering as to why they're continuing their Sarkar from Tihar jail, every day they come up with a new victimhood card. 10 seconds more. Vishnu, today, whatever they are saying, that Tihar jail is like a gas chamber, etc. First of all, I don't know where in the gas chamber Mr. Sanjay Singh puts on weight and his BP becomes normal and he comes out. But Tihar jail is under Aam Aadmi Party's Delhi government. Secondly, Mr. Kejriwal is on record before the court saying that I am being treated in a very cordial manner. And thirdly, this is a party that tries to pull out a new victimhood card every time it gets caught with its hand in the till.
Okay, Shehzad, you've got lots of points. So let's try and get responses to a couple of them. Abhinandita, one of the key points is this. Where is the evidence that Rajkumar Anand has produced to suggest that he was under imminent pressure or a threat from the ED? I am aware that there were questions which had been conducted by the ED on his properties earlier on. But where is the evidence that there was something which was going to happen to him now?
Good evening.
Good evening.
Vishnu, we've seen how the Bharatiya Janata Party has been utilizing, misusing agencies like the ED or the CBI purely for the pursuit of power. You know, they aim to intimidate, coerce, and ultimately they absorb these people first, who they call corrupt, whether it is in Maharashtra or Karnataka, Arunachal Pradesh or Madhya Pradesh. Overnight, you know, they buy, sell MLAs. They take oath at 2 a.m. How is all this happening? This pattern is glaringly evident. So I don't think that, you know, it needs any further explanation as far as the people of India.
No, but Abhinandita, sorry to interrupt.
And,
are you suggesting,
it also proves.
No, I'll come back to you. But are you suggesting, therefore, that Mr. Anand is joining the BJP? Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, we think that's highly likely to happen. I'll come to that because I do have some interesting evidence that I should share with
Please
you.
Please do, because that's a main news point. Please go ahead.
Certainly, I will. It's very interesting. But to finish my point, you know, this pattern has become very dangerous for our democracy. It's almost like 1.5 months ago, Mr. Rajkumar Anand's house was raided by the ED for 23 long hours. He had come on record to say that the reason why this is happening, he's a businessman, the reason why this is happening is because he stands with Mr. Arvind Kejriwal. Subsequently, he's been getting summons. On the 12th, he was supposed to be present in ED, and it appears to us that perhaps he was threatened to be arrested. And we understand that people have their own families, they have other things to, you know, we don't have anything against Mr. Rajkumar Anand. He may say whatever he says. We also know he doesn't mean it. He's been compelled to say whatever he's saying.
No, but where is the evidence? Now, Abhinandita, you began your
I will,
part.
I will.
Please go ahead.
Let me show you this. Yes, let me show you this. One second. So there is a very interesting character, and Shehzadji might know him personally. This is a person who was, in a funny way, please have a look. I don't know whether you can see it here. Okay, basically, this is a person who was first seen. I don't know his name. He's a BJP karyakarta, it seems, because he has photos with a lot of BJP leaders. Oh. Now, he is the same character who was seen with Kapil Mishra, who had left the Aam Aadmi Party, made random allegations. And you might remember that very amusing press conference where somebody came kaan mein aake Kapil Mishra ke bola tha ki faint. And unhone aise ek murcha ka bada funny sa wo karke. Okay. Now, the same person was seen today with Mr. Rajkumar Anand. It's very interesting. The same person. And he was also seen, you know, saying something in the ear of one of Mr. Rajkumar Anand's assistant.
But it is
blatant. It is clear. Now,
this is a person who is what? You are saying that this is somebody who is affiliated with the BJP,
absolutely,
right? Who is sitting over there on the head of Rajkumar Anand and telling him to say what to say.
Vishnu, these photos I will...
I'm sure the photos are kosher, but how do we know that this person was doing that?
Well, how does this person appears in all the press conferences?
Shehzad, hold on. Yeah.
Giving instructions, and is seen in the BJP cadres as perhaps belongs to the BJP, is part of their join kar lo BJP ya jail jao unit.
All right. So this Shehzad replied to Abhinandita. You made a lot of points. Shehzad, respond to that. He's seen in BJP press conference. He's seen here with Rajkumar Anand. Therefore, he is a BJP sympathizer or associate, and putting pressure is the allegation. Respond.
Let me unpack this for your viewers. Abhinandita doesn't know the name of this person. She doesn't know whether this person is a karyakarta of the BJP. For all you know, he may be a media person who regularly gets to cover our press conferences or our events, and therefore he may very well legitimately be there. Abhinandita, in your turn. Please, madam, in your turn. But if the basis is of one person with another person in a photograph, then here is Vishnu, a very verified photograph of Raghav Chadda, who, by the way, is in London with Preet Gill. And Preet Gill is the lady who has advocated for Khalistan and for the breakup of the country. So by Abhinandita's skewed logic, this should be a measure. But that's not the point. Vishnu, you remember 1.5 years ago, Saurabh Bharadwaj and the Aam Aadmi Party did a press conference that we were planning to break their party with 800 crores and they had an audio tape. I have the video of that statement of Saurabh Bharadwaj. Where is that audio tape? And just 2 days ago, Atishi Marlena said that somebody had contacted her relative or somebody from the BJP making an offer to her. The BJP went ahead and said that please provide the proof. We are happy to go and take action if the person is there. Till date, where is that proof? Let's forget everything else. Abhinandita, tell me who approached Atishi. Or tell me, where is that 800 crore audio tape which you said no, you would expose
question.
Us with?
Abhinandita, who approached Atishi? The BJP has said that they might consider taking legal action, if I'm not mistaken. Why would a senior leader, a respected leader, make that statement without a shred of evidence?
Even BJP says that they will take legal action. I don't know what their plan is, because they're also collecting people like Ajit Pawar and Hemanta Biswas, and God knows what they want to do.
But you haven't answered the question. It's a pointed question on evidence and Atishi. Do you have it?
Let me speak. Please go ahead. So, what Shehzad ji is saying is, ki batao Atishi ko kisne kiya hai. What we are saying is, forget who is saying it. The fact is that all throughout the country, from Kashmir to Kanyakumari, BJP is infamous for this. And I'm showing you that this is the person who is seen in both these videos. Shehzad did not make a logical comparison here. But this comparison is very clear. If you can play it, jo Kapil Mishra ke saath tha aur jo inke saath hai, jo Aam Aadmi Party se chhod ke BJP mein jata hai, ye aadmi wahi pe lead motive ki tarah aata hai, ghumta rehta hai. So please, everyone knows that BJP has a very active cell that gets people from other parties to join. How they manage it is through scaring people by using...
All right, Abhinandita, we'll try to come back to this part because I don't want to get bogged down by this. There's so much more to discuss. Rashid, Kidwai, would you like to come in to the larger picture now? No immediate relief for Kejriwal. We know what happened in the Supreme Court today. Yesterday, of course, his appeal to have the charges against him dismissed didn't work out at all. The Supreme Court today said that normal course of hearings, whatever comes up, will come up. And then you've got a senior Aam Aadmi Party leader leave the party. Is it all unraveling for the Aam Aadmi Party at this stage? The entire issue of leadership, control, the party itself.
Yes, Vishnu. Vishnu, there is a legal part of it, and there is a political side of that entire drama that is being played in Delhi and Delhi politics.
So let's talk politics. Let's talk about it from a political standpoint.
That's what I was saying. I would not attend to the legal arguments. It is just a political aspect of it. It is something very unnatural and bizarre that has, you know, crept in Indian politics. We are seeing that, you know, faithful people who have been part of, you know, political formation, suddenly, abruptly, they change sides. And it's very telling. The other day, a Delhi newspaper also covered it that out of the 25 people, who came under ED glare, 23 of them ended up joining a political party. This is rather abnormal. Somebody, you know, tweets and supports at 4 o'clock and at 6 o'clock has a change of heart. This is quite abnormal. I mean, it is a doable thing in electoral politics, but it is something very, unusual. And it doesn't bear any sign of, you know, political logic. Aam Aadmi Party's real challenge, Vishnu, is to explain. Basically, there is one that we keep saying, a legal web, whether Mr. Kejriwal was trapped into or not. But Kejriwal came with as a change agent, as a catalyst, and he had a lot of, you know, grudge against organized political parties. And therefore, to reconcile with that, there is a person who's facing corruption charges. I mean, I am saying I have a lot of sympathy for Kejriwal on that account that we have a very corrupt political system. And what Aam Aadmi Party ended doing was they also became a party to it. We have no proof of it, but Liquor Gate perhaps was used and utilized to, you know, get funds for corrupt electoral practices that are prevalent. Every MLA who is supposed to spend just less than 40, 45 lakh rupees ends up 5 times, 10 times more. And same case in Lok Sabha election. So no political party can survive without black money. And if any kind of charges are proved at any stage of time, our Liquor Gate, but it would lead to that corrupt system that I was talking about. Now, the corruption is not one dimensional. It's not a one-way street. That is where people like me, we have some, you know, problem and trouble. Because how is it that the only opposition and particular, you know, kind of people who are opposed to ruling establishment are caught, are paraded, are in jail? If we have a corrupt political system, then it applies to everybody.
Sure.
And electoral bonds is a very, you know, it's a very living, a very strong testimony of it.
Right. Right. I just wanted to focus on a couple of important parts of what happened in the High Court yesterday. And I wanted to ask Nilesh Tribhuvan about this, the senior lawyer and advocate in the Supreme Court. The entire link between, or the judge having stated that PMLA does apply, in other words, not just Arvind Kejriwal, but the Aam Aadmi Party comes under the purview of the PMLA. The key quote is this: after examining the definitions mentioned below, the court is of the opinion that the definition of political party, as per whatever sections, is that a political party means an association or body of individuals. As per explanation number one of section 70 of the PMLA, a company also means an association of individuals. In other words, the Aam Aadmi Party does come under the PMLA Act. Does this actually weaken the Aam Aadmi Party's position as far as, you know, I mean, getting out of this mess, as it were, is concerned?
So my views on this is, now at the moment, High Court, as a single bench of the High Court, has interpreted this for the very first time. This is Section 70 of Section 70, Subclause 3 of the PMLA Act, has been interpreted in terms of whether the political parties can be brought into the purview of this particular section or not, has happened for the first time in India at the moment. We'll have to await till the time the Supreme Court gives its verdict on it. But by bare reading of the particular section, it squarely covers the political party or body of association, that squarely covers the political party as well. So I believe this is definitely a dent for the Aam Aadmi Party and whichever party in near future. This is a very strong arm which has been given to Enforcement Directorate. So they will use it or misuse it in near future, that we'll have to see.
Rashid, would you like to talk about this a little bit? The fact that political parties can now be covered under the PMLA, it has implications not just for the leader of that party, who is in a sense the CEO of the party, but for the party itself. Is this a concern for our political parties in the country?
Absolutely. And if a particular party, Aam Aadmi Party, is liquidized, de-recognized, something like that, then is always possibility that, you know, we have over 3,000 registered political parties. Many political parties are not active. So it's like, you know, people change companies, then some other political party may come up with, you know, similar name or similar agenda. So that is not a solution. See, Vishnu, I keep saying this legal aspect is something very different. Political matters require, you know, propriety. And on grounds of propriety, all political parties stand exposed when it comes to corruption. And there is also a thing, look at the conduct of Lieutenant Governor of Delhi. Why is he not exploring the possibility of dismissing a chief minister who's in jail, who's under police custody?
In fact, Abhinandita, so that was going to be my next question to you. It's about whether Arvind Kejriwal can indefinitely continue being chief minister. Does he remain chief minister behind bars because he's pushing for a situation where he is dismissed, his government is dismissed by the lieutenant governor, which would serve you politically in these elections? It makes a martyr of the Aam Aadmi Party and of Arvind Kejriwal.
Before that, can I quickly respond to the PMLA and High Court's judgment yesterday?
Okay.
With due respect to the Honorable Court, this entire case, we believe, against Mr. Arvind Kejriwal is bogus. And it is based on statements of accused turned approvers. Now, it is very important for us to remind ourselves what are the provisions of this PMLA. When the court was saying that, you know, there is evidence found. What is this evidence? This evidence could just be a statement by a co-accused who has now turned approver, in likely to be somebody like a Sharath Reddy. Now, this Sharath Reddy, who went from being the kingpin, as called by the BJP, of the Delhi liquor scam, then goes on, gets arrested, becomes a star approver, and subsequently becomes a star donor of the BJP. He gave 10 statements in favor of Mr. Kejriwal. ED did not take that on record to the court. And the 11th statement where he speaks against Mr. Kejriwal is what is taken on record. No further statements are taken from him. And in this time, his company or his family's companies also donate 60 crore through electoral bonds to the BJP. Look, the limited points that we are trying to make is, one, that, you know, PMLA is a, it's for good reason that it's called the draconian law in the legal fraternity. Number two is that this, there is, even if we believe for a minute that, you know, everyone is involved and everyone is as bad, you tell me, why is it that the BJP is not taking any action towards the people who join their parties? Why are all these other cases, you know, they just become like dead ducks?
All right, lots of points. Shehzad, would you like to respond?
First of all, Vishnu, I just hope that the Aam Aadmi, madam, you've spoken. I just hope that the Aam Aadmi Party can save all of taxpayers' money instead of spending on the council, Abhishek Manu Singhvi. They should send Abhidhanita to argue, because all of these points were argued before the court. The court yesterday said, and I quote, that doubting the approvers is like castigating and putting into question the judicial process. They have said this is not about electoral bonds. Yet Ms. Mathur comes to, please, madam, don't interrupt me. Don't interrupt me. This is not a channel where you need to interrupt to get your point across. Yet Ms. Mathur wastes the time, not just of the viewers, but also precious other time, instead of answering relevant questions, and comes here and makes the same argument that the courts have rejected, not on one, but on multiple occasions. I don't think she has more wisdom than the judge. Secondly, madam, PMLA is so dangerous, so vindictive, etc., etc. 3 months ago in Chhattisgarh election, you were demanding the same ED and PMLA be used against the Congress Chief Minister, Mr. Bhupesh Baghel. The same ED's karwai has been used to arrest Mr. Khera in Punjab. That time it's fine. The same ED-CBI, when it gets a go-ahead by the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court's verdict is not taken on board, but the Supreme Court gives the verdict in Chandigarh. That's fine. You know, these double standards have to stop. And as far as the action on opposition leaders and the action on people not who come to us and no action is taken. Now, let me tell you, apart from being a journalist, Mr. Rashid Kidwai is a person who observes politics over the last 3, 4, 5 decades. Mr. Rashid Kidwai, when was the first time Lalu got arrested? 97. Convicted? 2013. Was it our government? When was the first time JMM got convicted as a party? 1990s. When was DMK minister sent to jail? Under UPA. SP disproportionate asset case? A UPA. When was the first time TMC faced cases? Under UPA. All of these people were the same people who are facing cases today. And if you don't believe me, please listen to this gentleman.
Mulayam Singh Yadav ne chori kar rakhi hai, Mayawati ne chori kar rakhi hai, sabne chori kar rakhi hai.
Please wait, madam, don't interrupt. Madam, even your leader till yesterday, and Mr. Kadwai, this would also be very abnormal. Somebody tweeting at 4 and doing something else at 6. But this man said all of these things few years ago, and today he's doing something completely different. Is this not abnormal? Is it not abnormal that Congress used to call them brush and used to file complaints against the Aam Aadmi Party? Today they are standing with them. So, Mr. Rashid Kidwai, there are many things that are abnormal that happen in politics, but the one thing that's not abnormal is for them to keep lying. Hemanta Biswa Sarma, for instance, out of those 23 or 24 people, has filed a defamation suit against Indian Express, saying that I was never called as an accused, I was called as a witness in 2014. And in each instance, I have argued, but Lalu Prasad Yadav is convicted 4 times. Now ask Ms. Mathur, is Lalu convicted, corrupt or no? And why is she with them?
Abhinandita, go ahead.
Okay. You know, Shehzad, one, I'm not falling in this trap of yours. More important thing is, you have to remember, BJP...
No, is Lalu convicted and corrupt? That's all.
Ek minute, yaar. Ek minute, rukhi aap.
Madam, it's a simple question. Lalu is convicted.
Shehzad, let us speak. Yeah.
Why did the BJP take 60 crore from Sharath Reddy? I can also...
Is that your answer for Lalu's conviction?
It's beneficial for the people who are watching, for the people of this country. What does the BJP think today? कि बाकी सारे बेवकूफ हैं, चोर हैं, एक बीजेपी बड़ा वो है,
smart
और मतलब ऐसे don't interrupt and don't go into this like you know performance mode. The important thing that the BJP has to answer is that why is it collecting all these people who they themselves accuse? The Prime Minister accused Ajit Pawar and his party, brings Ajit Pawar कि आइए हमारे संघासन पे बैठिए, आप Deputy Chief Minister बन जाए. The list is endless, Shehzad. You cannot argue. The whole world can.
All right, Shehzad, now you're being unfair. Shehzad, put that down. Put that down, Shehzad. Let her answer. I'll come to you if I can.
This is like बच्चों वाली
बातें. Okay, go ahead. Abhinandita, he won't interrupt. Come on, go ahead. Yes.
So there are n number of cases, not just there's also Praful Patel. There is no action, and this is not something that I'm making up. Aap dikhaiye na kiske khilaf action ho raha hai, and the BJP spokespersons have become so for lack of another word, seem to have no shame in seeing the fact that nahi inke upar se cases nahi hate hain, bas abhi karwai nahi hui hai, case nahi hata hai.
But Abhinandita, you haven't answered my question as yet. Is Arvind Kejriwal not stepping down as chief minister because he wants to be dismissed because that will help him in the elections?
Well, he's not stepping down as the chief minister because he's a competent chief minister. This is political vendetta. We did go to the people of Delhi who had said that they do not want Arvind Kejriwal ji to resign. We are also hoping, because the timing is such, we're also hoping that we'll get some relief from the Supreme Court sooner than later. And he will be out. And I want to assure the people of Delhi that regardless of where Mr. Kejriwal is, you will not suffer. You will definitely not suffer more than the BJP's LG would like you to suffer. You know, we are here. Our top leadership has been jailed without a chavanni being found. And we are still working day in and day out for the people of Delhi. Rest assured, there is a good reason why the people keep selecting Arvind Kejriwal ji.
All right. So basically, you're saying that your party, which was my question, is not unraveling. Let's see what finally pans out. I'd like to thank all of you very much, for coming in on this debate. It's getting not just political, but certainly legal as well. And for taking all of those questions. We will take a short break up after that. The Prime Minister in the south of the country in Tamil Nadu today, the Kachchatheeva debate, it's about the island in the pork trade between India and Sri Lanka, coming up once again. The Congress raises issues about whether the BJP is genuinely concerned about sovereignty. The Prime Minister talks about how sovereignty may have been lost if this island was ceded to Sri Lanka. We'll bring you excerpts of what Mr. Modi had to say and then our debate. Next up on the program, the Prime Minister has hit out at the DMK in a scathing attack in Tamil Nadu, accusing the party of hate politics and of creating divisions. There was a sharp counter from M.K. Stalin, who said the Prime Minister's visits to the states were akin to those of a migratory bird. This on a day when the row over Kachchatheeva, a tiny island in the pork strait between India and Sri Lanka, flared up again, with the Prime Minister alleging that the Congress and the DMK had ceded the island to Sri Lanka. The impact, he said, was being felt by fisher folk in the state, who were frequently being arrested by Sri Lankan authorities with their boats being taken away.
The Kachchatheeva Island making a comeback on the Tamil Nadu election trail. As Prime Minister Narendra Modi, campaigning in Vellore and Coimbatore, accused the DMK and Congress of ceding the uninhabited 285-acre island to Sri Lanka and keeping the people of Tamil Nadu in the dark over the transfer.
बीते वर्षों में उस आइलैंड के पास जाने पर तमिलनाडु के हजारों मछुआरे गिरफ्तार हुए हैं। एनडीए सरकार ऐसे मछुआरों को निरंतर रिहा कराकर वापस ला रही है। डीएमके कांग्रेस सिर्फ मछुआरों के ही नहीं बल्कि देश के भी गुनहगार है।
वहां के उस द्वीप पे कोई रहता है क्या?
वो तो ये कह रहे हैं कि जो मछुआरों को द्वीप को देकर के मछुआरों का अरेस्ट करा करके फिर छुड़ा लेता ना कांग्रेस पार्टी सिंपैथी गेन करने का।
ये बेकार बातें करते हैं मोदी जी बिना सिर पैर की।
The Prime Minister also accused the DMK of indulging in family politics, corruption and an anti-Tamil culture. The Dravidian Party, he claimed, has a copyright to indulge in corruption in Tamil Nadu. Over the years, nearly 500 Indian fishermen have been shot dead by the Lankan Navy for trespassing into Lankan waters. The larger picture, with no major ally in Tamil Nadu, Modi is reaching out to the fishing community who could improve prospects for the BJP in at least 5 seats. Calling the ceding of Kachchatheeva a historical blunder by the Congress in 1974, the ruling DMK questions the BJP on what has it done over the last 10 years to retrieve Kachathivu. The Prime Minister's big focus on Tamil Nadu comes amid a tough battle for the BJP in the southern state. The BJP does not have any big ally in Tamil Nadu. After the AIADMK snap ties, the party is locked in three-way battles on many seats with the DMK and the AIADMK. In the 2019 Lok Sabha polls, the BJP got 3.6% votes and won no seats in Tamil Nadu. 2 years later, in the state election, the BJP got 2.6% votes and 4 assembly seats. This election, two younger leaders, State President K. Annamalai and Union Minister of State L. Murugan, have been promoted by the BJP in the hope for better electoral gains. The big question, despite the PM's push, will the BJP make gains? With Alok Pandey in Chennai with Suresh, Sam Daniel, Find It TV.
You know, you've been speaking about all these issues on your campaign trail, but the issue the BJP has been speaking about is Kachathivu, saying that the DMK gave it up in collusion with the Congress. How do you respond to that?
The Prime Minister has been in government for nearly 10 years, and we've raised this issue many times in Parliament, and we've never got a reply, either 0 hour or a discussion or a question hour. We've never got a reply, and Prime Minister himself has never raised it all these years. Even when he went to Sri Lanka, he never spoke about it. And suddenly, after 10 years, he suddenly realizes that Kachathivu is an issue, and he is speaking about it. I think it is just to divert attention from the electoral bonds and also from what's happening in the Indo-China border.
Okay, so you don't see that impacting in a constituency like Thoothukudi, which has a large fisherman population?
No, yesterday I was in those areas, and I don't think... people take it as an issue. They know what he's up to.
All right, a very, very heavy political season in Tamil Nadu with the Prime Minister campaigning several times. The issue of Kachathivu coming up and so many other issues as well. The DMK hitting out saying that the Prime Minister is essentially akin to a migratory bird coming to the state only during elections. Joining us now, C.R. Keshavan of the BJP, Mohan Kumaramangalam of the Tamil Nadu Congress, Pulla Rao, the political analyst with us as well. Mr. Keshavan, the point mentioned by the DMK is that if the Prime Minister is intent about speaking about issues of sovereignty and the fact that Kachathivu is no longer a part of India, then there are larger unanswered questions on the frontier between India and China, for example. Essentially saying that there are double standards. How would you respond?
The first question is, this is a live issue. People are asking why this is coming up. You know, this is also in the manifesto of the DMK saying that they'll retrieve Kachathivu. See, they have been exposed and unmasked by the foreign minister in a press conference when RTA documents came. The Congress is saying, oh, 2015, you know, you never talked about ceding. But see, this is the latest press conference by the foreign minister, and we go with what he says. It is very clear there is a history with the Congress party that Kachathivu was an integral part of independent India. And from Nehru as prime minister, who said he attaches little importance to his island, and he said he has no hesitation giving it away, and to his daughter, Indira Gandhi as prime minister, who just dismissed it when an MP from Tamil Nadu said, you know, you give so much importance to Dioga Garse, which is thousands of miles away, but Kachathivu is just 14 nautical miles away. Why are we not giving it, you know, commensurate importance? She dismissed us as a little rock. And what happened in 1974 is, Vishnu, it's like a Shakuni-like match fixing. DMK was power in the state, Congress, both of them were an alliance. And taking DMK into account, these, you know, RTA documents are like a, you know, such an expose. They say that Mr. Karunanidhi, who was then chief minister, was consulted in person by the foreign secretary who had briefed him that, you know, Indira Gandhi was going to give this away. And he was signaling principal acceptance and said, I won't talk about this in public because it is politically not correct, but I will, you know, make sure I'll downplay this. So it was clearly, it's not a historical blunder. Mm-hmm. It is a cold-blooded betrayal by these two parties. And now... And the irony is that the Chief Minister of Tamil Nadu writes 21 times to the foreign secretary and the prime minister saying, please say, Kachativu has to be retreated. But it was his party in connivance with the Congress party which has ceded away. And this is the fundamental fountainhead, which is the problem for all the fishermen, sisters and brothers on a daily basis when they are attacked, killed, imprisoned. And that is why now it is clearly...
Let me get a response.
Who did it and who hid it?
Got it.
And one more point, Vishnu, important point. Recently, Vaiko, a part of their alliance, India alliance, he was asked, what about Kachativu? He openly said, Congress betrayed Kachativu and Tamil Nadu on all other fronts.
All right. Mr. Keshavan, I get it. Let the others also come in. Mohan Kumaramangala, respond. It's a betrayal. I think that those were the words that he used.
Vishnu, we've been talking about this issue now for, I think, at least 2-3 weeks. It was not a part of independent India. I think Mr. Kesavan is mistaken in saying that. It has been a disputed boundary since 1921. What was ceded in 1974 was claims to it. It was, frankly, international maritime waters and a disputed boundary up till that time, up till that point. Now, relating that to the arrest of fishermen, the capture of their boats is actually incorrect, completely incorrect. Because most of the fishermen actually are getting caught when they're going from Tuthukudi and Kanyakumari in far deeper waters on the other edge. And if you can ask any person who served as High Commissioner to Sri Lanka, they'll tell you as much. So they're conflating two issues. Third, when we gave up our rights in Kachativu, and by the way, when in 1974 the agreement was signed, it was an 8-article agreement, the fifth of which said that hitherto there will be no obstruction for people from India visiting Kachativu. And in fact, every year, people go to Kachativu there because there's a church there. People come from Sri Lanka, people go from Tamil Nadu, and they have, a one-day festival there. So it's not like people were banned from going to Kachativu to begin with. There are several issues that lead to arrests. And what I want to understand, though, in the last 10 years, when Mr. Rajapakse, a man who's revered in Sri Lanka as the one who brought an end to the civil war, but is hated by all the northern, the Tamilians who live there in the north, as well as the Tamilians in Tamil Nadu, was invited for Mr. Modi's swearing-in ceremony. He had that deeper relationship with the premier of the Sri Lankan country. Why couldn't he do anything to retrieve Kachativu? Why couldn't he do anything at least to put an end to this dispute? Hmm. I mean, you've had 6,600 fishermen arrested since 2003. And 3,300 of them, if you want to believe that Kachativu is the reason for that, is in Mr. Modi's era. So to bring up an issue 50 years hence, and then the number of different things he talked about, saying that DMK is anti-Tamil culture. I mean, I'm not a DMK spokesperson here, but that's laughable. Frankly, DMK prides itself on promoting Tamil culture, just like Mr. Modi prides himself on promoting Sanatan Dharam and Hindu culture. So the linguistic and the regional identity promotion actually is mostly done by DMK, just like Mr. Modi does Hindutva culture. Okay. So I'm not sure where he's getting this notion from.
I just need a minute. I need a minute, Vishnu.
Okay, you've got 30 seconds.
Vishnu, Mohan is wrong because he's not telling the real facts. In 1974, they said they'll have fishing, navigation and pilgrimage rights. In 1976, they forfeited those rights. Let them answer
in exchange,
that.
Yes.
And he said, what did the Prime Minister do? In 2014, 5 fishermen were on death row. The Prime Minister saved them. The Congress spokesman still has not answered. Why Vaiko has called the betrayal of the Congress. Mr. Mohan had also tweeted saying, oh, Vaiko, he's an opportunist and Congress shouldn't have given him a seat.
Okay, Mr. Keshavan,
I agree with that.
And one more thing, Mr. Chidambaram of the Congress party has also been misleading. He said in return for Kachativu, they got 6 lakh people, repatriated. That's a lie. That's a Sri Mavo Lal Bahadur Shastri agreement in 1964. These people want to give credit to this dynasty. So even if Lal Bahadur Shastri has done something well, they
okay,
say
Mr. Keshavan, you made your point. Mohan wants to reply to that. One sec. The great discussion. Nobody's fighting beyond the point.
In 1976, exclusive economic zones were demarcated. For a couple of years, in fact, Sri Lanka was allowed to fish in what is now the Wage Bank, which is 10,000 square kilometers and the richest fishing resource in this country. So when we gave away those rights around Kachativu, we certainly got a much bigger and richer area in terms of biodiversity in the Wage Bank.
Let me come to you next. Do you believe that Kachativu is not really the issue? It's something that's been brought up politically and that what the BJP is trying to do at this stage is reach out to the fisher folk community, which is an important political constituency, or do you see this as a genuine issue of sovereignty?
Well, one thing is the Prime Minister has taught us the importance of history and diplomacy. You know, every Indian now goes back and says, you know, you don't trade away land, you have to keep your properties away. He has got. The only dangerous thing I find is we are dependent on the Indo-China border and Indo-Pakistan border on agreement signed even before independence. The McMahon line, Indo-China, that is the contention, and China says we don't believe in that. We believe it was forced on us, forced on Tibet. So if you go deep into such an issue, all these other issues will come up. And I'm sure the Prime Minister is just going to stop there. He has raised the issue of Kachatiyu. He has said this is what they did. And, you know, he has stopped there. But, you know, I have to make another comment. You may, you know, you're a person who deals a lot with strategic issues and diplomacy and all that. You see, it's only 250 acres. And the sea is very shallow there. I'm not suggesting something very outrageous. If Kachatiyu was of such importance as, you know, what they call an island fortress or whatever we can convert or safeguard our fishermen, you can always make an island. You know, China has made 10 islands. One of them is 3,000 acres and much deeper water. You know, if the Prime Minister wants to satisfy, close this issue, he can explore all these options. I don't think Sri Lanka will say, now take it back, because they have their own national issues. And this issue is good for telling us where we have done something wrong, and we should be careful. And perhaps in future, none of these parties will raise, because the BJP has no solution, and the DMK also had a hand, somewhat, you know, they say it's an ancient hand in handing it over. So maybe this issue will be put to rest. But there are other options.
You know, Mr. Pullarao, you mentioned an important point. You spoke about Sri Lanka, and Mr. Radhakrishnan, my next question is to you. As our political parties go at each other, looking at the issue of Kachatiyu, we are forgetting that this is intrinsically linked to the entire equation and relationship between India and Sri Lanka. This is one of our most important partnerships. It's a partnership we value for decades for more reasons than one. And the Sri Lankans are not particularly happy about what they are seeing. Shouldn't we be putting our politics aside and thinking about where this might be leading us, particularly at a time when China is making inroads, partly in Sri Lanka itself?
Thank you for the opportunity, Vishnu. You have been in Sri Lanka, you know, many times over, and you would have heard from your own friends there as to what the reaction there is. It's not about the land. It's not about some 250 acres where nothing grows. But it's the point that a big power is again being labeled as a bully. And that, I find it is especially problematic, because we have heard the same expression being used in Maldives in a very different context. The point is that regardless of whether we have a point with Maldives or not, whether we have a problem with Moise or not, the same usage of the same phrase is being used across editorials in Sri Lanka, and that is problematic. And here I would also like to mention, when this issue came up for discussion in Parliament itself, I've written about this in detail in Frontline, the next coming up issue, July 23, 1974. Surprisingly, Vajpayee also was in the House, and he makes two observations, basically. He only says that the agreement is unconstitutional. Can they violate the Constitution is the question that he asks. But then he was in power. He was the Prime Minister later on for 6.5-7 years or so. But then he never thought it was required to rake it up, though he has had extensive contacts with all our neighbors, including the Sri Lankan Prime Minister and the President.
All right. Well, it is a fascinating issue, no doubt, and very much an internal political issue being fought. Is anybody really caring about the Sri Lankan opinion at this stage? Perhaps not. But we'll leave it at that. Thank you all very much for being with us. But we're going to continue with our election focus on this program. Shift to Assam, from the south of India to the northeast, where all eyes are on the prestigious seat of Jorhat. The Congress deputy leader, Lok Sabha Gaurav Gogoi, contesting against the sitting BJP MP Tapan Gogoi. It's a prestige battle for both of them, as Gaurav Gogoi faces the challenge of maintaining his winning streak from a new seat where the BJP has a strong presence to present himself as the face of the Congress in national politics. My colleagues Ratnadeep Chaudhary and Sanjoy Chakraborty have this special report.
It's a battle between two Gogois in Jorhat, Gaurav and Tapan.
once a Congress bastion, now a BJP stronghold since 2014. The constituency is a prestige battle for both sides. The Ahum factor is also key to the contest. 41 years old Gaurav Gogoi starts his day early, reaching out to voters of Jorhat. Gaurav has ancestral roots in Jorhat, and his father, late Tarun Gogoi, Assam's three-time chief minister, had represented Jorhat in Lok Sabha twice in the 70s. Before he returned to the state politics, Gaurav says his fight for Jorhat is beyond his family legacy.
I have not worked in Jorhat for the last 10 years. I was in a neighboring district far from Jorhat. With the response that we are seeing from all sections of society and the way the BJP have also responded, it seems as if even the BJP were not prepared for me to contest from this seat. And this campaign is not about an individual. This campaign is not about a specific political party. This campaign is about the people. I am fighting for the right of tea garden workers who don't get a sufficient living wage. And we are fighting for the idea of democracy, because people in Assam, especially in Jorhat, they have opposed the Citizenship Amendment Act, but they don't have the space to exercise their right to protest.
Gogoi is trying to reach out to the far-flung areas and to the villages and tea gardens, holding more than a dozen meetings every day, trying to meet the voters. The challenge for him is that not only this is a new constituency, but several Congress leaders from this area have left the Congress and switched over to the BJP. Cut to the campaign on the other side. BJP has fielded the sitting MP Tapan Gogoi, a former student leader in Assam and a former Assam minister. Tapan faces a challenge of another kind. He is campaigning in a wheelchair after he fractured his leg, but Tapan is sure he will overcome this temporary handicap.
19 appeal aane dijiye. 19 appeal to sunao hoga. Sab logon ne BJP ko vote dega. Aur 4 June aane dijiye. तो उस दिन हम बात करेंगे. तो हम लोग जो बोला है अभी, हम जो बोला है उसी सही होगा. डेली हम 10, 12, 13 ऐसे मीटिंग हम सुनाओ का मीटिंग हम लोग कर रहा हूँ. अभी भी मेरा मीटिंग है, इसलिए कोई प्रॉब्लम नहीं है. तो हम जीतेंगे 100%.
बीजेपी चीफ मिनिस्टर हिमंत बिश्व शर्मा हैज थ्रोन हिज वेट बिहाइंड तपन
गोगोई. तपन गोगोई.
सेवरल ऑफ हिज टॉप मिनिस्टर्स एंड द पार्टी स्टेट लीडरशिप हैव बीन स्टेशन्ड देयर. The question is, will BJP retain Jorhat?
We are looking forward a bright future. So we will go with the government who gave us these facilities and who provided us with all the sources for our development. Like during this government rule, we got this employment opportunities.
The Ahum community and the tea garden workers make up the majority of the voters in Jorhat. Both Congress's Gaurav Gogoi and BJP's Tapan Gogoi are from the Ahum community. Seen as a youth icon, Gaurav is busy crisscrossing this vast constituency to win over the youth. As the sitting MP, Tapan is on home turf, while Gaurav Gogoi has a family legacy to bank. Tapan is also backed by the might of the BJP juggernaut in Assam, under Himanta Biswa Sharma. To dub Jorhat a clash of the titans may be an exaggeration, but it promises to be a keenly fought contest. With camera person Sanjay Chakravarti in Jorhat, Ratandeep Chaudhary for NDTV.
And finally, it's a race against time for the BJP alliance in Maharashtra. The tug of war over seats in the Mahayuti continues, even as the rival alliance sealed its seat-sharing pact yesterday. 9 crucial seats are proving to be a big challenge for the NDA in Maharashtra, a state that has the second largest share in the Lok Sabha. We leave you with this report.
Even as the opposition alliance in Maharashtra has announced its final seat-sharing formula, the ruling Mahayuti alliance is still in disarray over seat allocation. Of the 13 remaining seats yet to be announced, there is dispute over 9. The BJP aims for a lion's share of 29 to 30 seats out of the total 48, leaving the Shiv Sena and NCP with fewer seats. So far, the BJP has officially announced 24 seats, Shiv Sena 8 and NCP 3. Among the disputed seats, in Aurangabad, Palghar, Thane, Ratnagiri, Sindhudurg, Mumbai South, Mumbai Northwest and Mumbai North Central, Sena and BJP are at odds. In Nasik, it's Sena and NCP in dispute, while BJP and NCP are clashing in Satara. Mahayuti leaders assure that such issues will be resolved in due course.
देखिए हर एक गठबंधन की थोड़ी बहुत चुनौतियां होती है फिर भी गठबंधन होते हैं जीतते भी हैं तो इसलिए ये बहुत अटकलें लगाने की जरूरत नहीं है हमारी पॉलिटिकल सिस्टम में कई तरह से हमारे जो भी साथी होते हैं उनको एडजस्ट करने के भी माध्यम होते हैं
Sources have revealed that Eknath Shinde faces pressure to concede maximum seats to the BJP, including traditional Sena strongholds, sparking discontent among Sena leaders and workers. Shinde has already had to drop 3 incumbent MPs and faces further pressure to give up more. Party insiders say that Shinde has urged disgruntled candidates to remain patient and has assured to rehabilitate those who've been dropped out of nomination. Now the bigger question is, will this ongoing dispute lead to Sena feeling shortchanged, leading to further dissatisfaction within the party, or will a mutually agreed upon resolution be reached? With video journalist Arun Pednekar, this is Radhika Ramaswamy for NDTV.